Hi, everybody, and welcome to Lecture 38 in this American History Program of History at Our House for the Elementary Class. Today's title is, the title of today's lecture, rather, is The Idea of Colonization. So, yesterday, we were flexing our predictive muscles a little bit. And I asked you, if Europeans thought of America as an obstacle, right, and we know that they did, I'm going to go and share my map with you to remind you of that, right? If they thought of America as an obstacle, would they come and live here? And, well, how long would it take them? We know that they were going to, right? Here's America, the obstacle. Nobody ever wrote a song like that, but anyway. So here's a hole through America over here. Here's a way over top, right? They think of America as being skinny because they really want it to be skinny. So that's what Europeans thought of America up until 1576, at least, right? Here is an important essay by Sir Humphrey Gilbert, one of the European explorers, and he says, I'm trying to find a new way to get to
Cathay.
Cathay, says Patrick. Exactly. So we're still stuck, right? So what would have to happen for people to start coming to America and wanting to live there? Right? So, well, there was going to have to be a new idea. There was going to have to be a new idea. And the idea was expressed by a man named Richard Hakluyt. And yesterday's class was called The Idea of Western Planting. And so I asked you, of course, what does that mean? What do you think that means? We have discovered now that planting here means colonization. The process, the process of creating colonies somewhere. So now we have this group of related words that we're going to be relying on a lot, and we need to be clear on them. So those words are colonization, which is the process of making colonies. And the people who are in charge of that are called colonizers. And the people who are actually going to live in colonies are called colonists. All right, so we got four important, at least four, in very closely related words, you know, that are really crucial here. And all of it revolves around this crucial fact right here, of what a colony is, okay? A colony is a distant territory that people from a home country settle and bring under the control of the home country. This is a very good, very important definition to know about history, because colonization has occurred at different stages in history by different people in different places. It's a great definition to have and think about. It's very useful. It's going to also help us to predict the future. Again. So anyway, let's talk about, first of all, why make colonies? That's where we left off the other day. The question of why would you make a colony. And so Richard Hakluyt, writing his discourse on Western planting, gave a number of reasons. And the first one he started with was kind of a good way to get other people interested in his idea. The first reason he said was, well, if we go, I guess I can draw on the map, why not, right? Let me minimize this here for the time being. He said, all right, let me annotate. Here we go. And so he said, all right, if we go over here, oh, well, Richard Hakluyt's English, so he's not going to go there, is he? Okay, hold on a sec. Let's start in the right place. If we're starting from England, we're going to start, I don't know, Portsmouth maybe, somewhere down here, huh? And so he says, okay, we want to go to Asia. So what we'll do is we'll go right here. And we'll create a colony. Now, that's kind of an idea that even Sir Humphrey Gilbert could be pretty happy with. Can anybody think why kind of making a colony would still be something that people would like the idea of if they're still interested in going to Asia? Could a colony be useful for that purpose? A tool for doing what everybody's been wanting to do all this time. Why would a colony be useful? We're still trying to go. Let me remind you. We're still trying to go. The world is round, right? So we're going to come over here. And, oh, good old Sapengu. And then over here to Cathay. Right? This is what we're trying to do. All right. So what's the use of having a colony? Can't think of one? Well, what if you wanted to drive from Los Angeles to New York nonstop? No potty breaks. That wouldn't be too comfortable, would it? What's the use of having a stop? A rest stop? What's the use of having a place? Henry, Wyatt?
This is Wyatt here. My idea is what you would do is where you would stop there to take in resources and that stuff, repair the sails, do that stuff, then keep going.
Yeah, right, to resupply. All right, so that's good. So that you would have a base of operations. Caleb says a pit stop, exactly. All right, so they would use the wind to move, but they would still need food, and especially if you could get it, fruits and vegetables, because if you were on the ocean without enough vitamin C, pretty soon you'd get really sick. So yeah, you'd need lots of different kinds of supplies in order to make long voyages. So why not set up a base in the New World? So it'd be a base of operations. So that's kind of a reason to make a colony that would, you know, also appeal to the people who still want to go to Asia. All right, but what about just, you know, main reasons for making a colony? Yesterday, I think I also mentioned the idea, we can spread our kind of Christianity to a new place that's not in danger of some other person's regio coming and forcing us to have his religio, right? Because this is the age of religious wars. People have different beliefs, and they won't let anybody have a different one. So if you can go and create colonies, well, that saves your particular belief from the dangers of your neighbor's king coming and forcing you to have his. So that's another reason that they were thinking of at the time. But Richard Hakluyt had, the most important reason that Richard Hakluyt had was different. Certainly related to these things, but it was definitely a distinct reason. So the reason was, and I think we left off here, was that he said to the King of England and to English colonizers, he said, if we go to the Americas and make colonies over here, then what we can do over here is we can find stuff or make stuff over there that we would normally have to buy from other people. So instead of buying it from Spain, instead of buying it from Portugal, right, we would be able to find it or make it for ourselves. It would be Englishmen that would be making it. So now, today, we're going to really kind of think about this idea more carefully. Why is this a big deal? Right? Why would Richard Hakluyt say, we should do that? All right, so why? It's an interesting question. And so, well, let's talk about that. Why would somebody from England not want to buy stuff from France? We already have a pretty good idea about that one, don't we, Rosetta?
Because
They're worst enemies forever.
Worst enemies. Okay, but why wouldn't you want to buy something from your enemy? Why not? Caleb?
It might have an explosive in it.
Oh, come on. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, okay. So that's a little bit conspiratorial. That's not the answer that I was thinking of here. So, no, that's not it. Now, I'm trying to get rid of the noise. Dana, go ahead.
Could make it more expensive?
Okay, that's an interesting one. So it has to do with how you and the other person see each other, right? If you're enemies, are you going to be people who are going to want to trade with each other? War and trade are profound opposites. It is very, very wonderful and amazing and fascinating to see throughout history. And I think various people have identified this about history. When goods flow between countries, bullets don't, and vice versa. It's something, there's something really important about the difference between trade and war. So here is something for us to really look at, because we're now looking at something that is one of the most important things that I can think of in all of history. People have often wondered, and students have often asked me, why are there so many wars in history? And people have tried different answers to trying to solve, why can't we, stop having wars? Well, one of the most interesting things that you can see when you study history across the board is the more people trade, the less they fight. So, this is something to look at, something to pay attention to, and to think about. So let's do that for a minute here. Let's do that. And Nemo, it's not religion, so no, that's not it. Because people of different religions can trade too, and they can get along. So there's still something else. So, yes, we've seen a lot of religious wars. And so religion can be a reason why people will fight. But that's not all. So there's something else. There's something more to it. So let's talk about what trade is and why it's such a neat thing. It's so much the opposite of war. Trade is a benevolent activity. When you trade with someone, what happens? Literally. I mean, let's start from scratch. When you trade with someone else, what happens? I'm sure you've traded toys with a friend. I'm sure you've traded snacks with a friend. I'm sure you've traded lots of different things. What happens when you trade? How does it work? How does it work? Just one sec here. Keep trying to get rid of this. Okay, Dana, how does it work? What's trade?
Well, you trade with them, then you guys become best friends forever.
No. I'm not asking about the results of trade. I'm asking literally, what is trade? What do you do when you trade?
You give the person something.
Okay.
And then you get something in back.
All right. Thank you. Perfect, Dana. That's exactly what I was looking for. In trade, you give somebody something, and they give you something in return. Okay? Now, I want you to notice what a profound thing that this is. Because it is, and people don't pay enough attention to it. This involves two things that are closely related. They aren't quite the same thing. But one of them is benevolence. I'm going to type this out for you because it's such a good word. Benevolence is a wonderful word. Let me get my chat window open. I'm sorry. Let me just get this out here. So one word, one of the great words, benevolence. And the other word that I think it's really important to focus on is respect. So let's talk about what these two are. Does anybody know what it means to be benevolent towards somebody else? Christmas is a time of benevolence. If you don't know, don't clutter up the chat, please. Okay. Nemo, what is benevolence?
Being kind.
Well, yep, you're in the ballpark. It's not the same thing. Not the same thing, because benevolence is a way of looking at other people, and it's how you feel towards them. And in Christmas time, people often will have this very benevolent thought that Christmas involves the idea of goodwill towards men. Right? That's what benevolence is. Goodwill. It means you wish other people well. Benevolence means you wish other people well. Respect is a little bit different. Now, in trade, you're going to need them both. So, to trade with somebody, you have to wish them well. Because if they have something that you want, but you're malevolent, which is the opposite, right? What will you do? They have something you want. What is way too much part of history? One tribe has territory that the other tribe wants. What do you do? Attack them. Take it from them by force. Right? So that's malevolent. You don't wish the other people well. You really don't care about them at all. They have something you want, so you take it from them. So in order to trade with somebody, you have to be benevolent towards them. You have to say to yourself, well, I want things, but I also wish other people well. I like to be among other people. They are of value to me, so I wish them well. And so now I've got to figure out a different way of acting towards other people. Now, to trade with other people means to respect them as people that have something and that own it. To respect that whatever is theirs. And it's not just something that you can take for them whenever you want. So, if you want to trade a toy of yours with somebody else, or when a friend comes over to your house and says, oh, I really like that toy. Well, if he wants to play with that toy at his house, he's got to respect, first of all, that it's yours. He's not going to steal it from you. Otherwise, obviously, we know what's going to happen there. Civilized parents are going to crack down, right? And it's going to be returned, and probably you won't be friends anymore, because you're not going to be friends with somebody who wants to steal your toys. So he's got to respect the fact that it's yours. And then he's got to figure out what he can offer you that you would like in exchange. And now you trade. So he says, well, I've got one of the green Lego ninjas, and you've got one of the red ones. We got an extra one, so let's trade. And so that's a trade. You give value for value, right? So, we got two factors in trade. Benevolence, you have to wish other people well, and you have to respect them and their property in order to trade with them. So, evidently, if Europe's history is a history of wars, do we see benevolence in trade? Benevolence and respect among people? No. Right? France and England? Are they people who want to trade with each other? Who wish each other well? No. So they're not benevolent towards each other. And they don't respect each other. They would more be inclined to fight each other and take stuff from each other than to trade. So, of course, the deeper question is, how do you get to be more benevolent and be more respectful of others? But if you can have those feelings towards other people, then you're going to be likelier to trade with them. But the wars of Europe made it very hard for people to feel that way about each other. Okay, so that's one thing about why would Englishmen want to make colonies and make stuff and find stuff instead of buying it from the French. Or from the Spanish, or from the Portuguese. Why? Well, because usually, hopefully, people within the country wish each other well, and people within a country have more respect for each other. They speak the same language, they have the same traditions, they're more benevolent towards each other, usually, right? Than they are towards people of other countries and other tribes and other languages and other cultures. So, if Englishmen can go make stuff in another place, well, we'll buy it from them and we'll trade with them and we'll respect each other. And it'll be easier for us to trade. So that's part of the idea. Putting people somewhere, planting them in a new place so that they'll make stuff and you, both of you, will be willing to trade with each other because you're both English. Okay. Now, there's another part of this, though. So hopefully this is good. Raise your hands if you have questions or concerns about that. I'll check with you tomorrow to see if you can, or on Monday, if you guys can explain it back to me. All right? Because that's the best test of whether or not you get it. Henry, Wyatt, question or comment?
I have a comment quickly.
Yeah.
It is to say, well, but that didn't work. As we shall see in farther history.
You're being a predictor, is that it?
Yes.
Okay, stop. That's brilliant, Henry. I really like that. That's a great prediction. But I don't want you to spoil it for everybody who hasn't made that prediction yet. I really like that prediction. Henry says that it's not actually going to work. The idea that Englishmen in the colonies are going to benevolently trade with Englishmen back in England, it's actually not going to work. Henry, that's exactly right. It is true. So I was going to lead you to that point, but we're going to have to wait for that a little bit, Wyatt. Very, very well done. Okay, good. So, but I want to talk about another thing that has to do with trade. Because remember the example where you're playing with one of your friends and, well, you've got the red Lego ninja, he's got the green Lego ninja, and you trade. What's that called when one person gives you something that you want and you give them something that they want? It's a certain kind of trade. But here's the thing that you don't have there. You don't have any money involved, right? It's just, I have something, you have something, we swap them. Does anybody know what the word for that is when each person has exactly the thing that the other person wants? So you just directly swap the things between you? Like, let's say you went to a farmer's market and you had a cow and you saw that your neighbor had 6 chickens. And so you say, well, all right, well, 6 isn't enough. 20. And so you would say to the farmer, well, I need chickens. So give me your 20 chickens, I'll give you a cow. Okay? And so that's a direct swap. Or I've got carrots, you've got radishes. Direct swap. Does anybody know what that's called? What's the word for trading without any money going in between? Nemo?
A barter?
Yeah, that's called barter. Very good. I'm going to type that in the chat window there. That's called barter. Okay, but most people don't trade that way, right? Because it's very limiting to trade that way. If you have carrots and you want to buy nuclear energy, it's not very easy to do, is it? Can you go to your local power company and say, here's my carrots. Can you please send electricity to my house? That doesn't work, does it? You can't go on Amazon and submit your used clothing and expect to get an iPad in the mail. All right? It doesn't work that way, right? So it's not even a matter of it being even. There's just no way that the people at the power company want your carrots. You don't have enough carrots, and they can just go and get them at the store anyway. So, right? But we use money. In modern trade, one of the amazing things that people invented actually quite a long time ago, but we do it today, you know, with even more innovations than ever before. We use money. So when you go to buy something, you don't have to worry about whatever personal things that you create. Like Mr. Powell gives history lectures, right? So if I go to the organic market and I want to buy carrots from somebody, well, I can't say, Well, okay, you got 6 carrots. I'll give you 6 minutes worth of history lecture. Right? Doesn't work. Right? So maybe the carrot guy doesn't want any history lectures. So I can't trade with him. But if I make money, then I can give him my money, and he's happy to accept my money because he can use the money to buy anything else that he wants, right? So we don't have to worry about the coincidence of whether or not he wants what I have to offer and he has what I want and so on. So we have money. That's really great. But in the past, when people traded and they traded money, they especially used, we don't do this anymore, they used gold and silver in order to trade with each other. They wouldn't use pieces of paper or electronic data bits like we do nowadays. They wouldn't have a clue what those things are. In the past, people insisted that money had to be something valuable by itself. And the only thing that they could use, and every culture in the world came to the same conclusion, which is pretty amazing, separately and in every place in the world, everybody said, oh, the thing that's very rare and that everybody wants is gold and, to a lesser extent, silver. So we'll use that as money. Now, Patrick, a thought, question?
Don't forget copper.
Well, copper to a less extent. Yes, for buying for really cheap things. You're right. You're right. But you wouldn't use copper to buy a house. You would use gold. Because
yeah,
it's not enough,
but
right?
You still may say.
That's true, right? You're right. Copper would be for things that are very, very inexpensive. That's true. All right, but the problem was, now see if you can see where we're going to go with colonies here. This is the tricky part. If you've got no more chatting, please. Get ready. You need to pay close attention now. Okay, so if you, people in England, have a certain amount of gold and silver to buy stuff, and you buy too many things from France, and French people don't buy an awful lot of stuff from you, what happens over time? I'll say it again so you can think it over a little bit more. Your people, they're the people of England. You've got gold and silver, a certain amount. And you buy lots of things from France because you like their stuff. Cheese and wine and bread. Those Frenchmen, you know, they make good food. But you're English and you don't make very good food. So they don't buy yours. Right? So what's happening? Okay, Jennifer wants to answer. Go ahead, Jennifer.
France gets more money than England, and France will get more of the weapons.
Weapons? We haven't talked about weapons yet. We're buying food, let's say. All right? The main thing. All right. So money. The question is, the key thing that Jennifer's identified is, what happens to the money? And over time, if this is always true, what's eventually going to happen, Nemo?
France is going to get really rich.
They're going to have all the gold and silver. At some point, right, you're going to run out of gold and silver in England, right? You won't have any. At some point, right, the balance keeps going in favor of France. You won't have any. And then, here's what Jennifer said, something very interesting. She said something about weapons. Well, okay, so who's going to win a war? A country with lots of gold and silver or a country that doesn't have any? Who's got the answer to that question? Who's going to win a war between a country with lots of gold and a country that has none? Rosetta?
A country that has lots of gold because it can afford more weapons.
Oh, afford more weapons and also afford more human beings to fight, right? Those are called mercenaries. People who are, well, people from other countries, people from other places, they're willing to fight. Soldiers, right? And their weapons and so on. So this is right. Remember why Portugal wanted to go off and become the middleman? They needed money to stay independent from Spain. Keep on existing as a small country. So having a lot of gold was important to, well, to countries because they needed it to fight. They were always expecting to fight each other, right? You could trade one day with the people of France, but what were you thinking in the back of your mind as you exchange goods with the Frenchman at the port? You were trading them. You're trading with them one day, but what are you thinking as you're trading with them? You're an Englishman. What are you thinking? Are you thinking, oh, I sure love these French people. It's always been so nice to know French people. Is that it? I wish Frenchmen the best. It's so nice to trade with them. Is that what they're thinking? Well, we're supposed to know how the English feel about the French, Rosetta.
They want to fight them?
Yeah, well, they feel badly about them. Not necessarily want to fight them at any particular moment, Rosetta, right? But they don't feel nicely towards them. They think those stinking Frenchmen. Actually, that's the French thinking about the English. That's the wrong accent. So they're thinking, you know, those people across the channel there, we don't really like them. And we're buying stuff from them. Well, that's kind of, it makes us feel bad about ourselves. We'd rather keep that money and we'd rather beat up those Frenchmen. Same, vice versa. Right? This isn't a good idea, as Jennifer said. I should say, exactly, we should save our money. That way the French won't get rich, we'll be rich. And when it comes time to fighting, because at some point we're going to fight again. You can, pretty good prediction, right? At some point we're going to fight again. And so we should keep our money. So now, why make colonies? Why make colonies? The people of England are going to go to America and they are going to make stuff and they are going to find stuff that you want and you don't want to buy it from France. So if you buy it from them, who's getting the money? Where does the money go? Well, Dana, you say them, but who's them?
The people that you're buying from.
Yeah, but who are they? Are they French?
Yeah.
No, the whole point is it's a colony of Englishmen. That's why you made the colony. Because you're sending Englishmen, you're planting them over there. They're going to make the stuff that you buy. So to whom are you sending the money now?
To the Englishmen.
To other Englishmen. They're not in England anymore, but they are Englishmen. So you're trading with them now instead of France. So is England losing any money in this trade? Is any money going to another country now? Aha! It stays inside of England. It doesn't go to France, doesn't make France powerful, it keeps England powerful. Now, here's an idea for making a colony. The people there will create things that the people of England need. And they will trade together instead of trading with the French. Okay. So that's the key idea we're going to have to see. Everybody here is going to have a chance to express this in their own words. A very important idea. The idea of making colonies so that you can trade with them and you don't have to trade with people from other countries. That is really crucial. Now, Dana says that's a smart idea. It actually is a pretty smart idea. It actually is, isn't it? Except... Wyatt thinks it's not going to work. And he's right. It's not going to work. There's something wrong with this idea. Oh, my. Interesting. Well, there's actually a lot of things wrong with it. If you study history as a grown-up, I'll teach you all the things that are wrong with it. But it does sound good on the surface. It does sound good on the surface. But... the things that are wrong with it are partly here listed in our definition. Does anybody spot what's wrong with it? It's pretty hard to find it in this definition, but it's there. Jennifer's talking about... no, that's not it. That's not it. I'll show you there's one word in the definition that's dangerous. The people in the colonies, are they free? Oh, see, Dana gets it. Dana's getting it. The people in the colonies, are they all of a sudden free just because the king's not there? What's the king gonna do, Dana?
He's gonna take all their money.
He's going to insist that the only reason there's a colony over there is to take care of him. Because that's what kingdoms are, right? That's what countries are. The kings are rulers. And the people in the colonies are also under his control. So he's going to want the things that those people make. And he's going to want them to do what he says. He's going to want to rule them. Now, everybody in Europe is fine with that. They all have rulers, and they've had them for centuries. So what's the big deal? The people everywhere in the world are fine with it. The Egyptians had Menes Narmer and all of his buddies for 3,000 years. The Chinese, the Indians, the Aztecs, every tribe of Africa and North and South America had a ruler. So, they were all fine with it. Or at least, couldn't do anything or couldn't think of anything to do. Why is it going to be a problem for colonies? Last thought for today. I know we're running over, but it's a good thought. Why are the colonies not going to put up with this, Rosetta?
Because they're so far away from England.
Partly, yes. Partly because of the distance. Partly because they are so far away from the king that they live their lives without the king there all the time. The king isn't really in control of their lives. They're using axes to cut down trees and make houses. They're planting food. And nobody's around to force them to do anything. They pretty much just have to live in a certain way. And by their own resourcefulness, by their own inventiveness, they have to take care of themselves. And everybody has to stay out of their way. So the people in the colonies were people that had to be more resourceful and independent than others. So that's one thing that's going to be a problem, is these are not regular folks. Colonists, anybody really, typically. Nowadays we have emigrants, people who leave their home country, however bad it is there, and go to other countries. These are usually people who are very brave and resourceful. They're not willing to put up with living in a place that's very hurtful to them. They want to go live in a better place. And colonists were like that. They had to do it from scratch. So they were not the kind of people to put up with kings. So I bet that's what you were thinking of, Wyatt, when you were thinking it's not going to work. Because what independent colonists were you thinking of when you said that it's not going to work? Or what was your reason for that prediction? Still there, Wyatt? Or are we having one of those sound things right at the end of today's class? Looks like we are. I don't know how quickly you can get back here. I can't wait for the answer today, I'm afraid. So, well, we'll let Wyatt tell us next time. But everybody here should think about that. Why is it not going to work? We know. We can predict that it's not going to. Because remember, when we predict the future of 1600, for us, it's the past. We actually know it's not going to work for sure. And Wyatt has arrived. So, Wyatt, what's your answer? Come back, Wyatt.
My answer is that I think that why I said that answer was that it was that it's pretty obvious since we do not live in an English colony. We live in a USA colony.
Yeah, it's not a colony. It's now an independent country, right? You're exactly right, Wyatt. So you are doing the right thing here. You are thinking that you're being a predictor by looking at the past. We know. What is one of our anchor facts? no more colony. Which anchor fact of history says no more colony? Everybody's hand should be going up now. Which one? Patrick?
The ruler.
No. Anchor fact. Rosetta?
Founding fathers.
The founding fathers? Give me the whole fact.
The founding fathers and the Declaration of Independence.
There you go. Declaration of Independence means no more of this. No more of this. The whole colony thing, there's a problem with it. At least there's a problem with it, with the way that Europeans wanted to do it. They didn't want the colonies to be free. They expected to use the colonies for their own good. And the founder said, no more. All right. Fantastic. Good. All right. Well, we'll pick this up on Monday. Of course, tomorrow is History Through Art. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.